Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hour two of the Joe Starkey Show. I'm Donnie Football in for Joe Starkey and Paul Zeiss this morning. City Limits behind the glass. IT back there helping us out as well. I didn't have the heart to begin the show in a negative direction by talking about the game last night. Speaking of your heart, heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. It's a great time to schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. Last night, a bit of a disaster for the Pirates, but I think, sadly, a predictable one, given what the Pirates' trends tend to be. Limits, I saw you sent a tweet about it, the Pirates scoring 12 runs on Tuesday night, having some fun in a ballpark that they don't get to have too much fun in. They beat the Brew Crew 12-2. And you could have almost guessed that last night they were either going to score 0, 1, or 2 runs and lose the game. And that is what happened. They lost the game 9-0.
I tweeted this in like the fourth inning. The Pirates have a strange ability to win a game by 10 runs and proceed to lose the next game while scoring no runs. Wild.
And we've seen that happen to them. I mean, we just saw it happen to them last week. They scored 14 runs against the Mets. They come back and the offense looks lackluster for a pair of games. They lost 5-2 and then 3-2 on Saturday and Sunday against the Mets. Then they scored 20 combined in the next two games. They beat the Mets 8-2. On Monday, then they beat Milwaukee 12-2 on Tuesday. Last night, just one where they got beat up. Sadly predictable. Maybe not the exact score, but the Pirates responding to that output of 12 runs by being shut out was almost sadly easy to guess. Tobias Myers for Milwaukee, the rookie, he started, and they made him look phenomenal. 8 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, just over 100 pitches in the game. Brewers pitchers, by the way, facing just 4 batters over the minimum for the Buccos in that game. Former Bucco, Rob Zastrzynski, I always mess up his name, Zastrzynski, pitched a clean 9th inning. He was always a tough one. Martin Perez got beat up again by the Brewers bats. 4 2/3, 9 hits, 5 earned, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Not quite as bad as what happened 2 months ago. He pitched there on May 15th. 5 innings, 11 hits, 9 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, and he allowed 5 home runs in that game. He had to wear one that day. It was an ugly one back on May 15 in Brewersville. Combined for Perez in his 2 starts against Milwaukee this season, 9 2/3, 20 hits, 14 earned runs, 9 strikeouts, and 4 walks, and a total of 6 home runs given up by Perez in those games. For me, he has actually become maybe their most worrisome arm in the rotation. The veteran, crafty left-hander. He's had a handful of really good starts this season. And even as recently as his last start when he went into the eighth inning against the Cardinals on Independence Day. 7 1/3, one earned run against St. Louis in that game. He has had some, I would say, surprising outings, surprisingly good outings so far this season as just your run-of-the-mill veteran left-hander. His third start with the team, he went 8 innings against the Tigers. The start before that, he pitched into the 7th inning against the Nationals. He's had a couple of other 6 innings, no runs. But then he's been, once that calendar turned to May, it's been a little bit rough around the edges. Really, that start against St. Louis last week, the only one where he looked like the guy early in the season, because he has not really had any other start with the exception of 4th of July, where he has gotten through 6 full innings, and normally he doesn't even get that close. The most he has gone, besides last week, it was 5 1/3 against Colorado on May 3rd. He allowed 3 earned runs. He struck out 4, all on 8 hits. After that, 5 innings, 5 innings, 4 1/3, 3 innings, 4, 7 1/3, and then 4 2/3 last night. So he's had, a handful of some good starts early in the season, but he has had the most blow-ups of anyone, and he's been someone they have not been able to count on too much since the calendar turned to the month of May. He's dealt with injury in there, and that's a reason why some of those starts look a little bit funkier when it comes to how long he has pitched in those games. But you're just not really sure what you were going to get out of the guy. Skeens, for example, you can probably write him in for 6 innings today and less than 3 runs allowed, unless something goes wrong. Jared Jones, when healthy, pretty similar, I would say. You're going to get 5 or 6, maybe 7 innings out of Jared Jones. Mitch Keller, I would say 6, 7, maybe 8 innings, maybe a complete game once in a while from Keller when he's on his game. Hell, Luis Ortiz, he's been so solid this year so far, his ERA in the 2s, we can normally count on him for 5 good innings. Maybe it's not as the starter of the game. Now he has moved into that role due to injuries in the rotation. But sometimes as the bulk guy in an opener game, he comes in out of the bullpen, he pitches 5 or 6 innings, and it's normally solid work. The Pirates bullpen last night also allowing some runs. Brent Honeywell, 2+. He allowed 1 earned run on a couple of hits. He walked a couple of guys and struck out 1. Ryder Ryan, 1 inning, 3 hits, 3 earned, and 1 walk. So the pitching wasn't good, but it wouldn't have mattered if they all combined for 1 run because the Pirates did not score. In fact, in comparison to Milwaukee's 14 hits, Pittsburgh had 4 in the whole game, and 1 guy drew a walk. That was Jack Sawinski. Reynolds, Tellez, Palacios, and Triolo had the hits. Tellez, the only one with an extra base hit, he had a double in the 9-0 loss. This is also a chance for us to have a conversation, another conversation, about Ke'Bryan Hayes. Last night, another 0 for 3, a strikeout. He hit into a double play. He is slashing this year just .229. His on base is .287. His slugging is just .296. And his OPS is .583. That is awful. A .583 OPS for Ke'Bryan Hayes. His OPS plus league average is 100 when you look at that number. His OPS plus is 67, which is a career low. for Key Brian Hayes. A cornerstone piece, mind you, in this organization. A player that signed an 8-year, $70 million contract. And really, if he just gave them somewhat average offensive play, he would live up to it because that's how good his defense is. He is an elite defender. He already has one gold glove. He will probably have a couple of others to add to that trophy case, but I don't think he'll have any batting titles or Silver Slugger awards to add to that same trophy case. And we always have to worry about his back. We always have to have that fear, oh, his back flared up. Now he's going to be out for 2 more weeks. He's not a guy that has been able to consistently play an entire season or close to it because he has ongoing issues. But maybe he can go back to the guy that fixed his swing and fixed his at-bats last year and had him perform at the best level he ever has in Major League Baseball. Oh, wait, no, he can't do that because that guy got fired. So really frustrating to watch what Key Brian Hayes is doing right now. And I know the speculation out there. I know the thought out there of should he be part of a trade? Should they consider Key Brian Hayes moving on from that contract? The contract itself, like I just got done saying, the contract actually is not all that bad. If he even was an average offensive player, they would be getting a borderline bargain for what Key Brian Hayes is doing. Because you know you can count on the defense. The offense has just been awful from Key Brian Hayes in 2024. A few weeks ago when I was thinking of my biggest disappointments for the Pirates in 2024, fortunately for Hayes' sake, Henry Davis, I think, takes the cake there. A former first overall pick. Someone who was drafted 3 years ago. He came up last season. Not that he set the world on fire, but we earmarked this guy to be maybe a middle-of-the-order bat, somebody who could hit home runs in the mid-teens, maybe around 20. Maybe my expectations were unfair, but the guy was a former first overall pick. Now, he has been the biggest disappointment. Absolutely. And he's also dealing with concussion issues. Key Brian Hayes was the first name I actually thought of until I broke it down a little bit further. But that first name to pop into your head, it was Key Brian Hayes. He's absolutely on the medal stand. Could probably throw Jack Sawinski up there with him. I know some people will say that O'Neill Cruz should be up there with them. I don't really think he's in that class of disappointment this year. Hayes is absolutely up there. He has been a problem with how bad his offense has been. I mean, he had half of his extra base hits in like the first week of the season. He was tearing it up that first series in Miami, the first two series of the season. The Pirates start 5-1. Key Brian Hayes is on a tear. And it just completely fell off the wagon after that. Limits, would you consider a trade of Key Brian Hayes? Do you think we're actually getting to that point?
I think maybe from a mentality standpoint of Key Brian Hayes not wanting to be here, possibly. The contract, as you mentioned, is very affordable, especially for the defense that he provides. There's also this notion, I think, that Jared Triolo is as close to a player as Key Brian Hayes is offensively. I don't know if I believe that. I don't buy it. Triolo is somebody who does not have a lot of extra base hits. I feel like he does not hit the ball hard at all. But from a Key Brian Hayes perspective, unless you're getting blown away with an offer, and I'm not talking about something that you'd receive for Brian Reynolds or like a very good player, that the offer is going to be a lot lower than that. But whatever the standard would be for a Key Brian Hayes deal, probably if you're getting like a top five prospect, two top five prospects back because of the amount of just financial stability that you have on that deal for a good defensive player, then I think you'd have to consider it. I still think that there's a good bat in there as long as he stays healthy, but that's the problem with the back injuries. Can you bank on it?
Yeah,
I don't know if you can.
It's just frustrating to me. We saw the guy figure it out last year. John Nunnally, the man who did so, he was let go by the organization, and we have seen Hayes' offense go to crap since then. And the back thing does worry me. It seems to flare up every now and then. He also does, and I'm not going to say he doesn't care about how he is performing. Some people, it just looks different when it comes to body language or facial expression. There is like an odd little like disinterest there sometimes when he is struggling the way he is. But I would agree with you. I don't think it should be so easy to just give up on him, because if he plays, again, just a moderate level of offense, he doesn't have to be the player you build your offense around. He's such an elite defensive player that you can count on for years to come on that side of the ball. You will get your money's worth and then some if he figures it out with the bat.
And on the level of disappointment, if you had to make a scale, like a top five in no particular order, I don't think Hayes is one or two. I mean, he's probably, is he a bigger disappointment right now than Jack Suwinski? Factoring in the contract, probably Henry Davis?
Davis.
Aroldis Chapman?
Davis is definitely number one. Chapman, I guess I didn't really consider because this is probably a one and done for him
in
Pittsburgh.
For what they paid him to be.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to factor that in, then Chapman could definitely work his way up the totem pole. For guys that I actually think will be here for the next couple of seasons at least, Davis, without question, is number one. He's the gold medalist when it comes to disappointments this year. I think that it is closer for me with two and three between Suwinski and Hayes. We kind of knew what Suwinski was like as a hitter. We knew he had a lot of pop. You know, we're hoping that maybe he has the second half in 24 like his first half of 23. But we knew he wouldn't be somebody who hit for a high average. Really, if he hits around 200, I think you take that for Suwinski given what he can do with his power numbers. I just think given the way that the organization views Ke Bryan Hayes, the way that they have invested in him, and they did so very early in his career, I do think that maybe outweighs what Suwinski has been as a disappointment. When you factor in, Hayes is viewed as a cornerstone piece of the organization. Suwinski, not so much. Suwinski can be a player that finds a role on this team if they get back to relevancy, maybe get back to the postseason. Hayes is supposed to be one of those players, I think, if they get back to that point, he's one of the reasons why they did so.
One thing on Suwinski, you know, for me, there's so many analytics, and it's paralysis by analysis with a lot of the things that we look at. For me, just watching Jack Suwinski and watching as many games as I do, he is not a good defender at all. He's not very good in the outfield. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up on Baseball Savant. He is in the second percentile in all of baseball, where 99th and 100th is the best. He is the second percentile in fielding run value at -8.
Oof.
He's a -8 defender. I don't even want to know what the defensive run saves, you know, equates to, counting him and what we've seen from Edward Olivares out in the field.
That's why they got Michael A. Taylor, baby.
Oh, yeah, to dive for balls. And, you know, what game was that he lost them the game pretty much by diving? It was one of the St. Louis games.
Yeah, it was last week.
Guy got the second base. Base hit scores them. Pirates score one in the bottom half. Lose by one run.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of frustrating guys through this offense. And I feel bad for Hayes being the one that's picked on right now. But I just think given how they have invested in him early on, you know, he just has to be better, at least from where I'm coming from.
And he's supposedly still seeing John Nunnally, right? His personal hitting coach, basically, now, the double-A guy that the Pirates got rid of after last season.
Well, then I'm even more worried because that is the guy that fixed him last year. And maybe he needs a couple of more lessons to sneak in there. 412-919-3776. 928-9370 if you want to join the conversation. Fan text line is that same number, 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I know that is where, at the end of the show, the guys like to go to. Text in the City, one of their big segments to finish things out. We will have that before we get to 2 o'clock this afternoon, and Chris Muller takes over live from Rivers Casino. Coming up, a little fun idea that Mulsey actually threw out to me yesterday to put the ball or multiple balls in the court of our guy City Limits. We will have that.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up next, baseball coverage on The Fan, presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Technically, we're talking about all of the four major sports right now, or the four major sports leagues right now. NFL, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball. Because this idea got thrown out to me yesterday from Chris Muller, and I knew it would be something in the wheelhouse for Austin Bechtold behind the glass this morning, also known as City Limits, because he is the commissioner of a wiffle ball league in Baldwin, and I'm going to assume, just based on your nature and your temperament, you probably are a commissioner of a fantasy league of some form or fashion.
That is very true. Yes, I am. Fantasy football. We did think fantasy basketball for a year. That didn't really work out too well in fantasy baseball. But yes, I've run the friend group fantasy football league since like our freshman year of high school.
Fantasy baseball is tough because you got to be on your P's and Q's every single day.
Yeah, I've got over that probably after trying it for a month. I just could not keep up with it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm in a league this year with some Waynesburg guys that I was in school with, and like every day I got to think like, oh man, I probably have somebody playing. Like today is a perfect example. Like, you're going to have day games, and I'm thinking it gets past 1 o'clock. Oh man, I got somebody who's probably playing. Like I probably in this next break, I will have to look at my team to see who's playing today at like 12:35 or 1:10, and make sure that they are active and in the lineup. Or else I just blow a shot for the day at that position.
I'll
so
just
that,
forget
that can
about
be tough
it.
To keep up with.
It's like old Snapchat streaks. You know, people still do that.
Oh, yeah.
And completely forget about that.
So this idea was thrown out from Malzy yesterday. And again, I think it would fit right into the personality of our guy, City Limits. If you were the commissioner of the four major sports, NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB, and you could change one thing about each one, what would it be? You can start and go in any order here, Limits, however you want to do things.
Well, it's baseball season, so let's start with the MLB, Donnie.
Bed too.
Oh,
I like
yeah,
that.
I got you. Let's start with baseball. The unequivocal number one thing that I would change in America's pastime is that there needs to be a salary cap and a salary floor in baseball. It is automatic. It is an easy answer. Teams like the Yankees, Dodgers, Cubs, White Sox, whoever, should not be able and capable to spend $100 million more or whatever it might be than the Pittsburgh Pirates, the A's, the Reds, and there should also be a salary floor, the point of what a team needs to spend to be able to be compliant with the cap. Every sport has a salary cap. Every sport. Except baseball. Out of the core four.
So I actually think a cap would be good. I think a floor would be better because you have teams, unfortunately, one of them in this town where they spend under what a lot of people think they should be spending in 2024. And I think if you institute a salary floor into this and say every team has to spend at least $150 million and it bumps up every so often like other salary caps do, I think that makes things a little bit better.
And now, I will, like, go ahead.
If you did have the cap too, that would be ideal. I would actually start with the floor if I could change one thing, yeah.
Well, and I'm sure that is probably what baseball would do first, would be to add a floor than a cap, because they're not going to want to put a cap on as much money as somebody can make.
But yeah, I think that's definitely one of the top things that people go to with baseball. Like, you have to change, you know, put at least one or the other in.
And, well, I look at football. The Buffalo Bills can pay Josh Allen. Kansas City can pay Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't have to go to L.A. or the Giants or the Jets to get paid. And, I mean, look at some of the teams. Kansas City is winning Super Bowls. Buffalo is constantly in it. Baltimore, constantly in it. Because they can afford to pay their guys to the point where a Paul Skenes at some point, it's the sad reality, is not going to be a Pirate because they're not going to pay him $400 million.
Yeah, I mean, they just simply will get outbid for him in that case.
By like a Dodger or Yankees team. That's what happened with Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, I mean, so you have your window here for 5 or 6 years, and then, you know, you better make hay while the sun is shining on it.
And a salary cap could help with that. Something else that I thought of with baseball, the strike zone has gotten to be absolutely ridiculous. I was there at the game on Saturday when Derek Shelton got thrown out.
Are you ready for robots?
I'm not ready for robots, but I'm ready for what they have in the minors. 3 challenges per game for balls. So like that Jack Suwinski one, that would have been a walk. The batter gets an option. Maybe he'll even look in the dugout. Should we challenge that? And it's quick. It just quickly pops up in the screen of the minors. It takes like 10 seconds. And it quickly is relayed to the umpire. And it's determined ball or strike. And the reason why I was able to find out about that so much is watching Paul Skenes starts in AAA. And it happened on numerous different occasions. And it could help where you don't have complete automatic balls and strikes. You keep the human element in it, but you still have the ability to change and flip things that are really bad calls.
Yeah, I like that one too. Next up.
All right, let's go to football. I absolutely hate the fumbling through the end zone is a touchback rule and putting it at the 20-yard line. It is a huge, huge advantage to the team that forces the fumble. And I understand that the end zone is a unique part of the field. It's different than the 100 yards in between the two end zones. I think that if somebody fumbles, it's too big of a advantage if somebody fumbles out of the end zone. Because it might be like accidental. Somebody reaches for the pylon and the ball is fumbled out of the end zone where it's not even forced out of someone's hand. I would put it where the ball was initially fumbled, where the runner lost control of the ball. So it's still a turnover, but the team gets the ball at like the 1 or 2 yard line. Thoughts?
Okay, so I like that change to it, that it is still a turnover, but maybe they just don't get it at the 20. I think we can definitely meet on middle ground there. It's funny you bring that up because that was a rule that I have hated for so long, but I've kind of changed my tune and come around on it because of how many disadvantages there are to defenses now in the NFL. Like, there are so many things that make it an offensive game, and it makes it so hard to be a defensive player.
Right.
I mean, another example, the hip drop tackle. Like, I don't think people understand just how fast an NFL game moves. The only guy here that understands that is Doran. He's the only guy that ever played in an NFL game. But the speed that a football game goes at the highest level, guys can't always just think, well, I got to make sure I tackle this guy at the exact right spot or else I'm going to get penalized. So the amount of rules against defensive players, I've actually come around on thinking I'm fine with that rule, the fumble out of the end zone, which gives the other team the ball.
Fair point. Also, determine what's a catch, please. Like, we've been going on how many years with this? There's a description of it, but it's still up for interpretation. All right, the NHL. I feel like this league does not market their stars, like, at all. Sidney Crosby is not marketed nationally well enough. Connor McDavid is not marketed nationally. Maybe, probably in Canada he is, but we're not there. In the U.S., like, if you go up to random sports fans on the street, do they know who Connor McDavid is? He was in the Stanley Cup final this year, so maybe. But I reckon that a lot do not. So something that would market them in, like, national TV commercials, I would try to make sure that the NHL would work out deals with various companies. And I would also, for guys like Jacob Trouba, Tom Wilson, guys that are repeat offenders that constantly attack the head and neck area, you do it again after doing it once, maybe twice, 15-game suspension.
I like the move with suspensions there, with guys that are basically pigeonholed as headhunters in the league. Hockey, an easy one for me. Get rid of the friggin' points. I hate the point system. I hate like the freaking loser point. I think that is one of the dumbest things in sports. We do not reward losing, okay? You lose a game, you lost. Go to wins and losses like every other sport. That's how it should be done. I don't need to worry about a team who has lost 15 times in overtime because they have more points than me, who has won more games, but I only lost 3 times in overtime. Utterly ridiculous.
That's how the New York Islanders get into the playoffs seemingly every year.
I think it is the dumbest thing in the entire sport, one of the dumber things in all of sports. Like, I hate the point system. I don't want to have to calculate overtime losses. Okay, you don't get rewarded if you lose a baseball game in 18 innings. You don't get rewarded in the NFL if you lose a game as the clock is ticking away in overtime. You don't get rewarded in the NBA if you lose a game in 4 overtimes. Enough with the loser point. You lose a game, you lost. Go by wins and losses. That's an easy one for me with hockey.
Yeah, I like that. I can jump on board on that one. All right, the NBA. There's a couple that jumped to mind for me right away, but the first is, can you please call some travels? Like, can you officiate the game properly? And I understand that maybe they're taking a Euro step, or these guys just have very long strides, like Gregory Polanco running down the line, where they're just getting to the basket so quickly. There's a lot of travels in this game. There's a lot of carries in the game. And I understand that the NBA wants the stars to shine and the skill to take over. But why is it a different game that's called in the NBA than it is in every other professional level of basketball?
It's kind of like holding in the NFL, at least when it comes to offensive linemen. Like, anybody who ever played offensive line will tell you that there is holding on every play. Like, basically, every offensive lineman is holding in some capacity on every play. It just depends on how egregious it is. But if they called it every single time, the game would take forever. And people would get pissed off. So that's kind of how I see with these simple calls to be made in the NBA, with traveling, with carries.
Yeah, but they don't get called at all.
No, they don't, unless they're, like, utterly egregious. And, like, even then, sometimes the officials miss it.
I've seen, I think it was Russell Westbrook, somebody take, like, 5 steps going towards the basket and then dunk it.
Yeah, I mean, you do get stuff like that, and it is just a way for them to showcase their best players. Honestly, this one could be universal for all of these because they all have a review system in place. I am under the belief that a review should actually have a time limit. I think the officials should have, you can make it 90 seconds, you can make it 2 minutes. They have to make a decision in that time span, in 90 seconds or 2 minutes, and whatever they agree upon in that time, that's what the call should be.
Because the NBA takes forever to determine some calls.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen some bad ones in all of them, but the NBA seems longer than even the NFL when it comes to reviews. Listen, you got 90 seconds or you got 2 minutes. Whatever the call is, that should be the call.
Also, if you're going to do load management for the NBA, which seemingly happens in a lot, just in the NBA, really, I'd like to see it announced like a week beforehand, hey, this is going to be a load management week. Somebody's not playing. So that somebody doesn't buy tickets, drive up to a certain spot. I think Starkey drove up to Cleveland and somebody didn't play. Was it Klay Thompson or Steph Curry did not play? I think it was like this last year for the Warriors against the Cavs. What's the point of buying tickets and going if those guys aren't playing?
Yeah, that in a way is like an argument I heard about amusement parks a year or two ago. Somebody called in, they gave a great idea. Like a place, you know, like the ones we have, Kennywood, Idlewild, Cedar Point, if you go to that one. Those places should have a way to either communicate with you ahead of time, whether it be social media or whatever. Like, people should be checking those now in 2024. Like, if you're old school, I'm sorry. That's just a way that you can get information. But also, say you show up to the park on any given day. Say you show up to Kennywood on just a given day. You decide to go on a whim, and three big rides are closed down. They should flex their pricing based on that. You show up and the Phantom shut down. That Steelers ride is shut down.
The Logjammer still closed for the second year in a row.
Yeah, the Thunderbolt shut down. They should flex their pricing for people. Those are three pretty big attractions. You should flex your pricing in amusement parks if that happens.
I like that idea a lot, but it's always a sticky subject when you're talking about money.
Yeah, I might put that out there. So I did pull off the Starkey this hour. We're just going to make this two segments because we have John Parrotto coming up in a few minutes. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. That was fun, City Limits. I thought that went well.
Great idea.
I liked that idea from Malzi. I will have to tell him that it went well. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge on Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. John Parrotto, baseball scribe from Pittsburgh Baseball Now, joins us in a little bit. We will also dive into maybe what the Pirates can do at the trade deadline. Jeff Hathorn will join us in about an hour. Pirates and Brewers preview coming up as the show goes on, as well as that game gets underway at 2:10. You can listen to that on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.